From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.
Welcome to Postcard from Potbrad, boys and girls, on a very different programme, which we will explain to you in a couple of minutes' time. But before that, if you're joining us for the first time, which we know there's hundreds of you joining us for the first time, which is wonderful, my name's Eric Wiltshire. I'm located at the base of the beautiful Tatry Mountains, covered in snow, as I came out of the garage this morning. They look fabulous, in a town called Potbrad.
Is that you covered in snow or the mountains?
Thank you, it's the mountains. That's the French connection in a moment, ish. Well, he's kind of... No, never mind. So I'm in this beautiful town of Poprad in the east of Slovakia. Joining us regularly every week is the UK contributor.
Lee Beggs!
That's the one!
Are you staying for the whole show this week, Eric?
Yes, I am.
Because I said, me and Mark can cope if you need to go and have a lie down because you've got jet lag or something.
Did quite well.
You all did very well. Also in Paris, it's the other voice that you're hearing already. It's Mark Gander.
Hello there.
How are you? Was it stressful last week?
It was a bit stressful, actually. Not for me, because he's a consummate professional, but I'm a consummate amateur.
I don't think so. This week, boys and girls, it is a Postcard from Potbrad special. It's based on the fact that the big financial reports came out by the UK's coalition government this week, basically telling everybody to pull your belts in, close your purses, but... They give you all the problems, but they don't give you solutions. And in this particular program, we're going to give you some solutions of how you can save money, where the best places to go with all these brains that we've got around here. And it doesn't have to be that bad if you're smart about it. But before all of that, I'm going to say hi to Monica Sanderson. Bless. Bless Monica.
I know that name.
Yeah, she's... Lee allegedly is a journalist. And Monica's responded to a story that Lee's put on the internet about RTI. It says, great story. Eric should not give up. RTI was and is a great idea. He's so pro-Slovakia as well. Thank you, Monica. The idiots in Blava should pay him to put RTI back on FM. On behalf of the minority, sorry, Eric and RTI, on behalf of the majority, keep up the good work, Papa Monica. Papa Ati Monica.
That's nice.
Yes.
Thank you, Monica.
Bless you, Monica. That's really, 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 very, very, very sweet. And also to Vladimir, who's in Košice. Hopefully you've got all the information. Well, if you haven't got it, you won't be listening. If you have got it, you are listening. Who's joining us on Audio Boo, because he Skyped me in the office this morning. And I think you've got somebody to say hello about that as well, Lee.
I have. I've got two messages.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. That means I'm really unpopular, doesn't it?
Yes.
Nobody likes me. Nobody writes to me.
That's right.
This one, Mark, it involves you, and I think at the end of it, you should be prepared to say sorry.
Right.
Okay. This is off Alison, right, who wrote to us last week. And she says, I'm a bit upset with you boys for taking the mickey out of me for saying I hope you could keep it up for the week. You know what I wonder?
Hey, go on.
You know what I wonder? I'd like to know who Mickey is.
Well, that's very true. Very true. And the other one, quickly, Lee, because we've got a lot to get on.
It's off Sue Dumbbell.
Uh-huh. Hi, Sue.
Yeah, she just says, hi, pumpkins. Happy Halloween. Pumpkins? It sounds like a statue and family, doesn't it?
God almighty. Right, look out, boys and girls. Here we go. As we said earlier, the government in the UK has been telling you to pull in your belt. There's been reports about how the banks are doing so well and they're good guys. And if it wasn't for the bank, it's been so funny how some of the commentators around the world have been going, oh, poor little banks. Well, talking of poor little banks, let's start off with one of the biggest banks in the world, namely the NBNA, which is part of the Bank of America. Lee, over to you.
Well, let's put it this way. This is just an everyday tale of life across the world.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, this isn't an attack on my side on any of the banks. It's an attack on the discreditable rules that are allowed to... that they are allowed to apply when people actually get credit.
Right.
It's just an amazing story. When I get to it, I'll tell you proper.
Right. Goodness sake.
I really believe, right, that these rules that allow the biggest credit card companies in the world to charge 600% interest on a payment that was made exactly 1 minute late need changing.
Okay. Well, can you put that into some kind of language we can all understand now?
I'm just going to do it now.
Thank you.
Basically, here's the story, right? A young lady contacted me because she was charged, like I say, by MBNA 600% as a punishment for paying a credit card bill 1 minute late. She'd just come back off holiday.
And yeah.
She rang the MBNA at 4:30 in the afternoon, mm-hmm. knowing full well that she had to make her payment by debit card or whatever by 5 o'clock. Guess what? She's on the phone, hanging on the phone, listening to people saying how sorry they were for making her wait, listening to music, listening to nothing for nearly half an hour. Finally, she got through, made a payment. You know how much it was?
Go on.
£2.38. That was the payment she was so desperate to make.
Right.
And the only reason she got £2.38 to pay on a credit card mm-hmm. was because MBNA would not give her back the £25 that was left on a card when she shut a card down. They said, no, just go out and spend it. Well, she found something that she wanted, and it was £27.38.
Right.
So she got £2 left on the card. So anyway, she made a payment. As it was, she said, that's fine, isn't it? We're all hunky-dory. The operator, or the assistant, whatever they call, what are those people called who work in call centres for banks? I can think of loads of different things to call them. They
people do call
her,
them lots of things.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. But this woman, right, on the other end of the phone, turned to her and said, well, there will be a £12 charge. And she said, why? She said, because it's now 1 minute past five. If you'd have got there by five, there wouldn't be a £1 charge. Now, this gets even worse as far as I'm concerned, because, A, that is nearly, well, it's about 500%, isn't it, on £2.38. 500% for 1 minute being late. But then it gets worse, Eric. Listen to this. And Mark, listen to this. She complains to them on the phone, right? I said, she was so sorry, that's ridiculous. Do you know what they did? They did a deal with her. She said, well, go on then. Just give us £6 then, duck, and we'll call it quits.
No.
Flipping
yes.
Heck. Right.
Yes. So she was absolutely livid. Because the thing is, when you're talking to one, this call centre person was intransigent. She went to a manager, apparently, didn't get any joy off the manager, and just wouldn't do anything. So Mary came off the phone to them, got in touch with me right away.
Okay. So what was the final outcome then? What did you have to do?
Well, I chased them up. The thing is, you know, and this is what's so sad about things like this. I know what to do. I know who to talk to. You know, mm-hmm. I've been doing this all my life. I'm a consumer journalist. I might be retired now, but that's what I am. I'm a consumer journalist.
Right.
So I knew who to go to. Now, I phoned this person. Well, I'll tell you, it was the press office. That's all I did. I just phoned the press office.
Right.
Now, the press office were actually quite amused by the fact that that she'd had to pay this for being 1 minute late. Because mm-hmm. It is funny. But the thing is, it's their bank. They're doing it to hundreds of people every day, thousands. They're the bank of the world, virtually. They're the bank of America. They're the bank of the world.
Well, hang on. So what was the final outcome?
They've given it her back and said, sorry.
Oh, right.
Give her a £6 back and said, sorry, and allowed her to close her account. Why couldn't they do that with her when she's on the phone asking for it? What is wrong with this world? Eric, tell me.
Yeah, well, listen, it's not wrong with the world. It's wrong with these banks, all right?
Yes.
And, I mean, you know, all the time, I mean, we're hearing about these huge cuts, and, I mean, I think that Eric's going to be talking a bit more about those. But, you know, already, I have to say that the banks are being forgotten about it. Just a couple of days ago, I think yesterday on the radio, I heard a Conservative politician saying that this is what they inherited, basically implying that it was the Labour Party. Well, I'm sure the Labour Party were probably sort of slack about surveying the banks. I think everybody was. But at the end of the day, this is a bank-made crisis, and there seems to be some conspiracy afoot to get people to forget that, and I think that's probably part of the deal.
But I think there's there's an important message here that today's programme is all about giving people top tips, And the top tip from here is, don't accept it if it's 1 minute late. If you're nervous about contacting a significant bank like NBNA, because, I do respect that some of you out there listening, are not going to jump up and down and be quite as forthright as Mark Lee or myself. Get in touch with us, and we will do our best for you, because the fact is, was it Mary?
Yeah.
Right. This lady, Mary, was 1 minute out of time because of something that was going on that wasn't her fault anyway. The bank was trying to charge her money, and Lee not gone to the press office, probably the poor woman would have had to pay. Now, all I'm saying to you guys out there is...
She had already paid.
Right.
She paid over the phone. They just took it off her.
So, there you go. So, the point is, boys and girls, we can do this stuff for you and are very happy to do this stuff for you if needs must. But you've got to be honest about it. That's the bottom line.
Do you want to hear briefly what MBNA said?
Yes, please.
MBNA said, we can understand this young woman's frustrations, but unfortunately, late is late.
Mm-hmm.
And the size of the amount in question doesn't really matter. We can make these charges. So in this case, it does seem a bit unfair, and our relationship with our customers is something that's special to us. So that's it. They've sorted it out.
I think we'll make everyone special, won't we, Mark?
Yeah, well, I think that kind of stuff from MBNA, and you get the same from all of the banks, they're reading from the same script, and it's nauseating hypocrisy. There we are, really. It's just complete nonsense.
Right,
they wouldn't have said that to her. They would only say that to Lee because he's from the press.
Correct. Let's move on, boys and girls, because the first thing that we're going to suggest, and Mark's going to come in on this one in a big way, is that, again, just to repeat, the UK coalition government told everybody to tighten their belts this particular week. It's had spin-offs all the way around the world. There's lots of people worried about it, lots of people with jobs and stuff like that. But first and foremost, we put right at the top of our list some information for you, because the credit consumption in the UK is dropping, and that's a very good thing. But this is what you should do with that kind of spending cuts coming up, and Mark knows what he's talking about, specifically on credit and store cards. Mark.
Right. Well, the first thing is that we're coming up to Christmas, which is wonderful, isn't it? But actually, it's a very dangerous time, because this is the time when an awful lot of people, and particularly in this sort of economic crunch time, don't have enough money, or think they don't have enough money to run their Christmases, to look after their kids and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the time that people start taking on extra credit that maybe they really can't afford. It's very dangerous. Even the ordinary credit cards are making huge amounts of interest. If they're only charging 10% interest, that's an incredible amount of percent over the bank base rate at the moment, which is only 0.5%.
Mm.
If you go for store cards, you may well be paying 90 or 20 and more than that percent. It's horrendous.
Mm.
Do not get store cards. Even if you think your store, whether it's John Lewis or Tesco's or what have you, is a family store and they're going to look after you and they're decent to you and so forth, believe me, their credit is furiously expensive, and if you go wrong in it and they want to get it back, they won't be Mr. Nice Guys anymore.
Is it better then to get a bank loan, Mark, if you were really pressurised?
I'm afraid that the best thing to do is to go to your bank, and that's not something that I'm happy to say.
Mm.
It's only because the interest rates will be a little more reasonable. But of course, the people who really have difficulty getting money for Christmas are the people who end up with the payday loan companies. And they're
tragic.
Huge amount. It really is tragic. And
I was just going to say, there's one that advertises on TV in the UK, and I can't remember exactly what the interest rate is, but it's well over 2,000%.
It's ridiculous.
Advertising legitimately.
Yeah. No, I mean, it is huge, huge, okay? You will pay from the nose, and once you're in there, the chances of you getting out will be very, very difficult. And on the Consumer Action Group website, we have any number of terrible stories from January onwards of people who needed to buy the presents for their kids, and you can really understand that.
Hmm.
Went into the payday loan. Later on, they're borrowing more money to pay off the payday loan, and the spiral begins. And frankly, you never get out of it. If you want to guarantee a decent Christmas, and I'm talking about next Christmas,
mm-hmm.
at the end of 2011 for your children, then don't start borrowing from these people for this Christmas.
And I think
go on, Eric, you go.
Well, I was going to say, what's going to come up, boys and girls, is we've purposely been sitting down, and I know some of this stuff is actually going to be kind of like, oh, door, I forgot it. We're actually going to go through some top tips from Postcard from Pop Brad of how you can buy for Christmas this year without necessarily... In fact, we can certainly say we're taking a couple of 100% of prices of stuff if you know how to do it properly and if you'll stand your ground. So that's coming up in a minute. Lee, back to you.
All I was going to say, after what Mark has said, was very simply, when I got made redundant, which, you know, was the equivalent to my retirement... We didn't have a lot of money because we paid a lot of the mortgage off and stuff like that, and I wasn't earning. And we took out a credit card to do exactly what Mark's just been saying. We took out a credit card to pay for Christmas. It was the biggest mistake I've ever made in my life. Yeah. I really believe that. This was, 9 years ago, maybe. And do you know what? We're still paying it.
Yeah.
And we could pay it off, you know, but... But, you know, 20 quid a month goes out on it and stuff like that. You get a bit of an extra charge on it because you're a bit late, you're a minute late paying and stuff like that. And we're still paying it 8 years on.
Which brings me on to a very frivolous subject, you may think, but it's not. And my question to everybody out there, as this pulling the belt in is coming our way, do you really need that takeaway? Think about it. You go, if you want to get a Chinese or an Indian meal, or any other kind of meal, steak and chips for whatever you like. Look how much you're paying for that compared to the shop prices for the exact same goods.
I must argue the point on this. Carry on.
Add to that, if you go and stick it on a credit card, how much is your £20 meal then actually costing you?
Exactly. But there is a point about this, though. I have to say, Eric, you go for a takeaway, right? You go and buy the equivalent to a takeaway from a big supermarket, right? Mm-hmm. That one that you're buying has been pre-cut months before.
No. You're missing the point. Don't buy the pre-packed thing. Let's just
buy the food.
Yes. Yes.
No, that's boring.
I mean, I dread to think what a T-bone steak... Well, that's if they're allowed to eat them in England, because that's probably another thing you can't have. But if you went to a restaurant...
I used to like his record.
If you went to buy a T-bone steak in a restaurant with chips and a small portion of vegetables, which is about 5 cents, you know, how much would that cost you in a shop? Don't always run to the takeaway, because actually it's quite fun cooking. I like cooking. It's good. It's good. It's an achievement.
I live a pre-packed takeaway life.
What about you, Mark?
Well, no, I do a lot of cooking, actually, and I really enjoy it. And I must say, I'm pleased to be saving money on it, and I reckon I eat a lot better. And, you know, I know that I'm probably going to be the gloom and doom person on this show this week, but I'm so frightened of what's going to happen generally next year with all of these cuts, how it's going to affect people. I think that now's the time for people to start realigning themselves and what they do and the way they start spending their money, because they can weather this and they can get through it, and they can get through it very, very well. But they're going to have to realign themselves.
Well, I'll add to another one without mentioning any names. Let's have a takeaway chicken meal. So it's some bits of chicken, which are the tiny bits that are left over, some so-called French fries, and some baked beans. If you go to a shop to buy that,
this
typically...
This is your culinary-like expertise, is it?
Yes, because it makes sense.
A bit of old chicken and a few baked beans. Wow.
Don't forget, I was brought up in the services industry, dear boys, in shops and stuff. The fact is, if you go and spend £10 in a shop for that takeaway meal, you can probably get at least two meals of exactly the same standard, cooked at home, which is more convenient, you don't have to take the car out, for the price of that one meal from a takeaway shop. You get two meals for the price of one. Why wouldn't you want to do that?
I'm sure it'd be better than exactly the same standard, actually.
I quite agree with you.
There is a top tip, though,
go on,
here, which we're missing. If we're showing people how to save money, I do this. Don't buy anything that you don't need to use that day, and only buy the stuff that's got red or yellow labels on it that's been reduced.
Oh, well, I'll throw another one in for there. Does the term lost leader ring any bells with anybody?
I've lost my leader.
Yeah. And let me tell you about shops, because my father owned one for more than 30 years, and we had lost leaders. They are the sort of special offers of the week. Mm. Now, when I go into a local shop in Poprad, they look at me like I am barking mad, because people buy what they need for today. Now, there's a lot of goods that you can buy that will last you for years. Let me take, for example, coffee. Coffee typically is, and I'll round the prices up for everybody, €3 a jar or thereabouts. When it's on special offer...
How much is that in real money?
That is real money.
It's just about £2.50.
All right. Thank you, Mark. When it's on special offer, it drops by about €1. So if you buy six jars... You've got a couple of them for free. It doesn't go off.
Well, you've got to be able to afford to buy six in the first place.
But if you start off that way, you can continue. Because what you don't do is you continue to buy bulk from the special offers. Because that's what the supermarkets use to get you in the shop. Then they charge you ridiculous prices on stuff you think, oh, well, I'll throw that in the trolley as well. Don't do it. Just go with the special offers as much as you can, and you will save money. Absolutely guaranteed. Guaranteed.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Well, the point as well, while Mark was talking about cooking, I actually do a bit of cooking. And what I do now is...
I'm going to check that fact.
But if you buy stuff that's reduced and cook it that night, the thing is, you're restricted to what you can buy. And so you can...
Excuse me.
Incredible, strange meals that never, ever have existed in the world.
Excuse me. What's the date on the packaging for? What's the date on the packaging actually for?
Well, the date tells you the date it should be used by.
No. It's a best before date.
The best before date. Yeah, that's right.
It's not rotten the day after.
No, it's the use by date you've got to be aware of.
Yeah, because most. Goods that can be damaged, like provisions and cheeses, butters, bacons and stuff like that. There's this ridiculous scenario where people think that the best before date is the out-of-date date. And it's not. The best before date is just a typical way of saying, it's the best before date, after that it might not be so red when it's a tomato. So what? Sure. It doesn't make any difference.
It doesn't.
Yeah, listen, at the end of the day, what it really is the supermarkets practicing defensively.
Correct.
And their dates, I think, are generally speaking very, very conservative.
Yes.
I can't imagine anybody ever having become... Well, now, I ought to be so careful about saying this on the radio because I don't want people then to come along and blame us.
No.
But if you're sensible, certainly my practice is not to be put off by sell-by dates.
No, absolutely not. There are some ways, boys and girls, where you can actually have some fun with cutbacks as well. I'm going to be called a Luddite by Mr. Banks for this, I know, because going to the cinema isn't just the cost.
Luddite.
Thank you. Isn't just the cost of a ticket. It's often travel, some fast food takeaway or a meal out. You add up the entire cost of going to that one movie or, God forbid, the opera or going to the ballet or some other cultural event like that. How much does it actually cost you? And in London, and I haven't been there for a long, long time, and I've only ever once been to the theatre in my life in London, and I know that cost in excess of £200, which is why I probably won't go again. The fact is, for one night out, you're spending in excess of £200.
Yeah, now, but you don't have to, Eric. You don't have to.
But if you want... What I'm saying, Lee, is if you want the cultural things like the opera, like ballet and various other things, it's me being nice to people now that I shouldn't be. If you look at Sky Arts, for example, as a TV channel, which comes in the basic package, you can get hours of opera, hours of ballet, hours of even Bob Dylan, because he gets featured on there now and again, almost for the price of a trip to the theatre. Think about the way you're going to have entertainment and have the fun.
Truly, there is ways of doing it. There are things like, I'm not going to say who it is, but there is a telephone company here who do special Wednesdays where you get your tickets at half price and
right.
You get a discount off a meal at the nearby, whatever the restaurant's called, and things like that. So it's cheap. But there's also, the only reason I call you a Luddite over this is that you think that staying in and watching telly is a cultural event.
No, I'm saying for one year, while you were under pressure... find an alternative way to get the entertainment you want. And it can be done.
Of course it can. Of course it can, yeah. But also, what about a bit of home entertainment, like between you and your missus?
Exactly.
That's true. Talk to your missus.
I'll talk.
I don't talk to mine, actually. But, yeah, talk to your missus. Have a laugh.
Right. Moving along as we move towards the end of part one, and I'm sure Mark can contribute in this one in a big way. There are so many adverts, and I've seen them, I know where they're there, where people are offering you bigger and bigger internet connections, you pay more and more monthly fees on them, and my question to you is, do you actually need them?
Can I just interrupt for 1 second?
Go
one
on, then.
It's an important announcement. You both have heard of the Royal We.
Yes.
You? I'm going for one.
Now, I'm sure you get this subject come up on your website, Mark, where people
have
problems with huge claims about internet. Now, let me just share some simple numbers. We get talked about sort of, you know, 2 megas of this and 2 megas of that and 20 megs of this and gigabytes of all the rest of it. Most computers that you would talk to around server computers around the internet can't work that fast.
Yeah,
they actually can't.
You only need these big speeds if you really are watching serious amount of video and so forth on the internet. Mm-hmm. And by and large, exactly as you're suggesting there, you know, most computers can't handle it. And certainly most people are not using their computers in the kind of way they need these huge speeds.
No.
And so if there's an opportunity just to scale back, just to keep on with, for instance, with the same speed connection that you had just a couple of years ago that you're completely happy with, if you haven't really changed your way of doing things on the internet, then stick with it and save the money.
Yep. And I'll add to that as well when you're tempted to buy a new computer, Mark, because there's going to be so many tempting adverts floating around whilst they can't sell consumer goods at the moment, that think about what you're buying. We were joking that some of the computers in this building where I'm in now are over 6 years old. They're still functioning properly. And apart from the fact it's company policy to change them, and I just ignored it for years, the fact is, for the work they're actually doing, they're fine. So if you don't need a new computer, don't rush out and buy one just because.
No.
Well, in actual fact, if you're only doing word processing, you can go and buy one from a shop. They'll give you one from most private computer shops just because it's cheaper to give it to you than dispose of it. And it will work as a word processor. It will play basic games. It will even listen to RTI on the internet. It's not a problem.
I'm going to do a bit of consumer investigation on that. I'm going to go to all the computer shops around here and see if anybody will give me one.
Well, a computer. And a computer. Yeah, thank you very much indeed.
People can upgrade their computers. You know, if you're thinking of saving money for a year, you're thinking about buying a computer now, just think about upgrading it. I've got 2 children, and I actually build their computers from old bits. Yeah. And generally speaking, I find a bit of extra memory in them, and they move along like a completely new computer.
Absolutely.
If you're thinking about trying to get through this next year of cuts, think about, for instance, not replacing a computer. If you really need to, think about just upgrading it. It'll be very much cheaper.
We'll be back in part two. We'll be back in part two faster than you can even eat one of those takeaway meals.
RTI.